And the rest of us can open our Bibles or our Bible apps or whatever it is you use. Find the Gospel of John, chapter 3. A passage that is very fitting for this morning. We are studying the book of John, and this is where we happen to be on this Sunday. And it is a passage that is, for many people, very familiar. It begins with John 3:16, which is a well-known verse in a lot of places of the world. In fact, if you come from the United States, and maybe it happens here, I don't know, but you go to a football game, and there's an American football game, and there in the crowd is someone holding up a sign that says, John 3:16. Apparently they think that's evangelism, but it doesn't just happen at American football games. There's a picture from a World Series, and somebody in the camera angle holding up John 3:16. It happens at golf tournaments, basketball games, wherever. John 3:16 signs are held up, and I suspect that there are many people who have no idea what John 3:16 says and scratch their heads and wonder what's that all about. People who go to church probably know what it's all about and wonder why that guy is holding up that sign. So it is a passage that is familiar, and yet it's in a section of Scripture that frequently raises questions. And I think the passage is sometimes misunderstood. And so we're going to dig into the passage today, and before we do, I'd like to pray. So join with me in prayer this morning. Father, what an incredible passage of Scripture this is. For it says that you so loved the world that you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you would make this passage come to life. That it would not be just another sign at a sporting event, but it would be something that would be the most important thing we've ever heard. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the passage. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. This John 3:16 is such a familiar passage because it summarizes really the gospel. It contains the essence of what the message of Jesus is. That God sent him because he loved the world so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And yet, this passage brings with it many, many, many questions. In life groups that I have led over the years, There is a part of this passage that causes people to scratch their heads and say, nah, that's not right. And it's this section right here where it says, whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And people say, wait a minute. You mean to tell me that people are condemned just because they don't believe in Jesus? That's not fair. That's what they say. And I've heard that question dozens and dozens and dozens of times. That's not fair. Well, my response to that is a couple of things. First of all, let's remember who we're talking about here. We're talking about the God of the universe. You and I are creatures. It is not our task to sit in judgment of God. Okay? It's not our task to create something called God. God is God. And if we disagree with God, okay. But it doesn't make us right. And it doesn't mean there won't be consequences. Okay? So to begin with, when I get those kinds of questions, I have to ask, where is this coming from? Where is the question coming from? What's the heart of the question? Is it that the person wants to sit in judgment over God? Or is it that the person is trying to understand who God is? Why would the Holy Spirit inspire John to write this? That whoever does not believe in Jesus is condemned already. What does that mean? It's an important question. And we have to dig into the passage and do some thinking to understand what is being said here and why John 3:16 is such an important verse. John 3:16 begins, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish." So the setting of God's giving is a world that is perishing. It is a world that before Jesus came was perishing, was dying, was under already the judgment and wrath of God. So before Jesus ever arrived on the scene, the world was in trouble. The passage that Diane read, she didn't write it. Isaiah wrote it 700 years before Jesus. Talked about people living in darkness, seeing a great light. And that light is Jesus. Isaiah was prophesying about what was coming. So the world that John 3:16 talks about is a world that is in darkness and is already condemned. When you study the scripture, it's important to to look at the context of what you're studying. And this passage starts with the word for, which means it's an explanation of something. And the explanation is found in John 3, starting with verse 14, where it says, "As Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world." And it goes on. What is being talked about here? What Moses lifting up a snake in the wilderness? We have to take a look back at the book of Numbers. Numbers chapter 21. Numbers chapter 21. The book of Numbers in the Hebrew Bible is called In the Wilderness because it's a section of Scripture that talks about the people of God after they left Egypt. After the Exodus, and now they're in the wilderness heading for the Promised Land. And in the wilderness, in the desert, they complain all the time. They complain. "We don't have anything to eat." So God miraculously supplies them with manna. "We're tired of manna. It's manna this and manna that. We're tired of that." So God sends them meat to eat. "We don't have anything to drink. There's nothing to drink out here." So God provides them water, miraculously, time and time again. And yet, there are times when God sends judgment in their midst. He sends judgment because of their sin. And this is one of those times. In Numbers chapter 21, verse 4, it says, "From Mount Hor they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. 'Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food, no water, and we loathe this worthless food.' Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died." How does that fit into your concept of God? This is who God is. This is the God of the universe who, when people are complaining about his leadership of them, he sends snakes into the camp and people are dying left and right, and the snakes are from God. Really? Yeah. God sends the snakes. People die as a result. This is God. This is God acting and moving among his people. You know, when something happens to us, When something bad happens to us, one of our reflexive questions, I think, is, "What did I do wrong to deserve this? You know, God, I'm trying to be good. What did I do wrong?" Or sometimes, when we hear about tragedies somewhere else, we think, "Oh, those people deserve it. Those people deserve it. Here in France, particularly right here, we don't have a lot of natural disasters that happen here. We had some wind last week. Blew our flower pots off the windowsill. But, you know, we don't have hurricanes. We don't have earthquakes. I'm not worried about a volcano erupting this afternoon. It's a fairly mild place to live. And how easy it is to think of people who live in places where there are natural disasters to think they must deserve it. I remember years ago there was the massive hurricane that destroyed the city of New Orleans in the United States. There were preachers who said, New Orleans is a city of sin and God brought his judgment on it. And we can think that way. And Numbers 21 and the serpents coming among the people shows that God sometimes does that. And in Luke chapter 13, Luke chapter 13, and I'm sorry I don't have the reference up on the screen for you. Luke chapter 13. Jesus is there, and there were some present at that time, in verse 1, who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Apparently, Pilate had executed some of these Galileans in part of their pagan worship. And Jesus answered them, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way?" Jesus said, "No, not at all. I tell you that unless you repent, you all likewise will perish." Then Jesus adds, "Or how about the 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them?" Apparently these people were standing underneath the tower, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, when the tower finally collapsed. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others who lived in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you too shall perish. These disasters were befalling people. And Jesus says, you know what? You are in the same situation. If you don't repent, disaster will one day befall you. Really? The end of John chapter 3, it says that those who don't accept Jesus, the wrath of God remains on them. It was there before they heard about Jesus, and it was there after they heard about Jesus. They were guilty because of what they had done. Back in Numbers chapter 21, the fiery serpents are biting people, and the people came to Moses in verse 7, and said, "We have sinned." These snakes show us that we have sinned. We have, God, why are these snakes coming among us? And we realize now that we have sinned. "Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole. And everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." And so Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. So Moses does this thing. It's a weird thing. He sets this pole up, and people who are bitten, people who have fallen under the judgment of God, if they see the pole, they will live. And Jesus says, in like manner, the Son of Man, Him, Himself, Jesus, is going to be lifted up. So that whoever looks to Him, whoever believes in Him, will not die, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send Jesus into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. To save a world that was already under the judgment of God. Already on the conveyor belt heading towards hell. Already guilty before God and worthy of being destroyed. And yet, God, in addition to wanting to show His justice in condemning the guilty, wanted to express His love and mercy towards those who do not deserve it. And so He sent His Son to die on their behalf, so that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. The world stands condemned. Jesus came so that people might be forgiven and have eternal life. There is no other way. This phrase here, whoever believes in Him, this phrase, whoever, translates a concept that means everyone who is in the set, if we think of mathematics, the entire set inside that bracket, people who believe, all of those people are saved. All of those people have eternal life. That phrase means that set can contain all different types of people. The thing they share in common is they believe. So the offer of salvation, the offer of the gospel message, can be given to anyone. To anyone. It can be given to the member of ISIS, to the member of a communist party, to a person who, there are still a few around, who were involved in Nazi Germany. And they can become believers in Jesus and experience eternal life. It can be given to prostitutes. It can be given to executives of companies. It can be given to Germans and French people and Americans and Brazilians and Albanians and Mexicans. It can be given to anybody. Whoever believes can have eternal life. It is the only way for people to have eternal life. One of the things that attracts me to this church is the fact that there are people here from all the nations of the world. Not all of them. There's probably 20, 30 here today, but they do come from all around the globe. And we come together and we learn about Jesus. We are challenged by one another. We see Jesus in new ways. We are built up in the faith. We learn to serve one another. We learn to overcome difficulties in relationships, difficulties in culture, difficulties in language. We learn these things together. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard. And we do this, and God is equipping us, and He's teaching us so that we can share the gospel with people, so we can figure out how do I get across the barriers that would keep me from sharing the gospel with this person. And we learn those things here. And the end of our church mission statement says wherever God may send them. And I think to myself, we're being equipped to take this message around the world. Across the street, yes, but around the world. I believe that there are people here who are called to reach this city. God has called you here to reach this city, and you're going to spend your life here in this place, and being part of this church is part of the equipping. But I know that some of you are going to go. And you're going to go to some pretty, what to me, are exotic places. Like Indonesia. And because you were here, because you spent time in this place, when you go back to Indonesia, you will be more effective in going to people and offering them the gospel. You probably won't go out on a street corner and hold up a banner that says John 3:16. Okay? But you may have the courage now to sit down over a cup of coffee or whatever it is you drink in Indonesia and say, hey, let me tell you about what God has done. Let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about how you can have eternal life. I know this. Because of you, I am better equipped. Because of you, I've learned so much that if, and okay, underline if, this isn't to be a gossip point or anything, this is hypothetical, if God ever moved me from here back to my home country, I am way better equipped to share the gospel because of the experience with all of you. And that's part of the fact that God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. And He's called us to reach the nations of the world. Can I give you one example of how I have been equipped or challenged? And I may embarrass somebody in sharing this example, but I'm still working on learning French. And a while ago, I was taking a French conversation class. One of the things that just surprised me when I came here was that the people learning French here are not primarily Americans. They're primarily Muslims from Turkey or Iraq or Iran. And so I took this conversation class where we're just going to talk. And the guy sitting next to me is from Iran. Oh, that's an interesting thing. Where are you from? America? What are you doing here? I'm a pastor. He moved his chair over a little bit. We had the opportunity, after a while, to give a little expose, to talk for 5 or 10 minutes, which, you know, when you're learning a language, that's a big deal. And the teacher said, you know, talk about something that you think people might be interested in. So I sat down and thought, okay, what would people be interested in? And I did 5 or 10 minutes on the Mall of America. Okay, I'm from Minnesota. The Mall of America, been there many times, could tell you lots of things about it. Sitting next to me is a young Albanian woman who got saved in Albania and comes to our church. Marta is sitting next to me. She's next after my Mall of America presentation. The Mall of America? Do you know what the Mall of America is? It's one of the biggest shopping centers in the world. It's so big that it has an amusement park with roller coasters inside of it. Yes. Yes. It is huge. Huge. Look it up. Mall of America. It's one of the tourist places now in the United States. Anyway, I'm describing the Mall of America with its amusement rides and the fact that even though it's Minnesota, there is no heating system. They've actually figured out how to use all the lights to heat the place. But an amazing place, particularly if you like shopping, you know. So I'm talking about this and showing pictures and explaining this. And Marta gives her testimony how she became a Christian, how she was a Muslim, gave her life to Christ. Marta, the young Albanian woman, is telling the room full of mostly male Muslims from how she became a Christ follower. Carl, the pastor, is talking about the Mall of America. Who was equipping who at that moment? Who was challenging who at that moment? See, as we come together from the different countries of the world, as we try to figure out how to follow Christ together, we challenge and we encourage one another so that wherever we go, we can tell people, for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. That's why we're together. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Let's pray. Father, Father, help us see clearly. Please, please let us see clearly. Let us see clearly the condition of people around us. Let us see clearly the fact that people are perishing. The fact that people are under your wrath, that because of sin, because of rebellion against you, people are under your wrath, headed for an eternity in hell. Help us see that clearly. And Lord, help us to see how great a salvation has been offered. That the coming of Jesus was not so that we could give presents to one another and drink fang shou or have family time. No, the coming of Jesus was because you loved us so much that you sent him to die for our sins, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Help us to see that. And help us to be messengers of that message for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.